The Lord has given all of us different gifts. Some of the gifts that we have, we sometimes try to put them on the bushels, try to hide them. Some gifts that we don't have, we desire for. One of the gifts I've always desired for was to sing. And I do. I can. I really do. I get in the chapel on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday early when no one's there, and you ought to hear me. I can really sing. But I tell people, the Lord said, make a joyful noise for those of us who have no tune. That was excellent. And to all of the musicians that have played today, I've really enjoyed hearing those songs as well as the instruments played. It's been a good meeting. And I want to thank Brother Don for the dinner and the family that I had with yesterday, as well as the Foster family. And then this morning, Brother Clark, I want to thank you for the message. I've been fed. I've really been fed. I guess in all the things that we've said so far, as the Holy Spirit has led us, I guess the last thing I kind of want to leave with us is that we really need Him to live godly in an ungodly world. It would have been nice if He had just saved us and changed our bodies right then to a point that they would never, ever do anything that would be contrary to Him, but that's not the way God intended for us to know Him. We can get to know Him closer by communing with Him and obeying His word. But it is awful difficult in this world to do it without Him. As a matter of fact, He said you can't do it without Him. We need Him. We need Him in every aspect. As husbands, you're going to find out if you're going to live for Christ, you're going to need Christ. Wives, we find ourselves really depending on Him when we have to not only raise our children, but have to raise our husbands as well. And if you've got any children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, you know good and well that you really need the Lord to raise these children today. As Paul has said, train them. That training process is not easy. As a matter of fact, we ourselves need to be trained too, how to train our children. And so I want to leave this thought with us today, that our dependence on the Lord in this ungodly world is greatly needed, and we need to ask for help. So if you would, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The walk that you and I have with God right now is a faith walk. That is, we're not sure exactly, specifically, how we are going to accomplish the things that God wants us to do. And so we're depending on Him for our every need. Bill's song, old hymn that was shared long time ago, was, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Even though it's a song, but it's really a prayer. And that's what I want to talk to us today about, is prayer. How is your prayer life? How is it? Oh, it's easy to offer prayer over the food that we're about to eat. It's pretty easy. It's easy to pray when someone calls and says that there is death or physical injury or physical illness. That's easy to pray for. We have something specific, is something in goal to pray for. But in between that, how is your prayer life? When we pray, what are we doing? What are we doing when we pray? Well, those are some of the questions I want to answer us as the Lord has shared with me. Let's take a look at this in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Listen to what the Lord says here. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Is it just vocal? Is it just an utterance of words that you feel inside that would say what you really think? How is your prayer life? Here, the Lord tells us by the mouth of the writer here that if we are going to be men and women, boys and girls that are pleasing to God, we've got to walk by faith. But at the same time, our faith walk is in dependence on God. That is, we have to go to him for our every need. And he puts it this way. Why? Why do we go to God? Why go to God? Why do we pray to him in the first? Why do we talk to God? Why can't we just do it our way or do what we want to do? Well, first of all, we know that the Lord commands us to pray. He teaches us. He tells us. He says that man ought to always pray. As a matter of fact, the disciples had noticed. Now, don't think that prayer just happened to start when Jesus was here. It had been going on for a long time. Prayer has been going on for a long time. But there was something uniquely different in Jesus' mannerism and prayer the disciples saw that was different than the Pharisees, if you would. The Jewish leaders, the religious leaders. They saw them for years and years as how they prayed. As a matter of fact, most of those Jews in that time prepared their prayers even after those leaders had prayed. But if you remember when Jesus came to his disciples and shared with them that they should pray, one of them came and asked him, said, "Now, Lord, we see even John praying, and we see, what is it? Teach us to pray." He said on one occasion, he said, when you come to pray, you enter into your closet. Most of us, when we think of praying, we think that it is when the elders stand to the front, or when they call a brother to stand up, and he prays. And if you listen at his careful prayers, he's saying a lot of things. And a lot of those things that he's praying about or praying for, have you ever wondered, are they answered? What was the last prayer that you asked for of the Lord that was answered? even when we gather at our meetings and we say, would you pray at the meeting? Do you ever hear the answer to that prayer? So why pray? Why pray? What about when you get up in the morning and before you even start on a job, is there a consistency in our prayer life? Do we really believe prayer works? Well, let's take a look at the scripture here. Listen and see what the Lord says here. Here he says, if you look at this carefully, without faith it's impossible to please him. That is, you and I cannot even get to God except by faith. There is no sense in even saying our Father or Lord or oh God if you don't even believe in him. Now that's something. I've heard folks tell me that, well, the one writer says God does not hear sinners pray. Sinners can't pray. Technically they are right. God doesn't hear the sin, except one thing God hears when the sinner prays. See, if the sinner says, "Oh God, I want you to bless my family, and oh God, I want you to give me a job, and oh God, I need this, and oh God," out of God's marvelous grace, God supply sinners with a lot of things, but it's not based on the fact that they ask for it. It's by his mercy. It's by his grace. He lets the sun shine on them, just like he let it shine on us. That's his grace. Sinner didn't ask for that. And if he did ask for it, God was going to let it. God's grace handles that anyway. But what God wants to hear from the sinner is not, oh, God, bless me. It is, oh, God, I heard about Jesus. The evidence of that is here in verse number 6. For he that come to God must believe that he is. Not just the sinner, but you and I. We, first of all, as believers, we must believe that God is who he said he is. That is, he is the Lord of our lives. He is the Father of the Son. He is whom Jesus said we should pray to. Yes, we do pray to Christ. Yes, we do offer our prayers unto the Holy Spirit. But basically, it is unto God. For Jesus said, when you ask in anything, you ask it of the Father. And my Father who is in heaven, he will reward you. So we are, in a sense, really talking to God, even though we're using the channel of Jesus Christ to get there. For he said, no man can get to the Father except he come by me. So when we pray, it is not just an utterance of words. It's the fact that I believe that God is. Why would you call on somebody on the phone and they pick up the phone and there is no answer and you start talking? Just holding the conversation. Oh, how are you? How's the kids? How's the family? How's blah, blah, blah. And you're going on and on and on and there is no answer. That's silly. Now, if you believe somebody's on the other end of the line, then the conversation is all right because I believe somebody's listening to me. Well, that's the same thing it is with God. I, first of all, must believe that he is. So when I pray, sometimes it amazes me, and I'm only a human creature that's 50 years old, and I'm, as I said the other night, I was shocked in my life the other night when I turned 50 about a month ago, and I got a letter from AARP. I couldn't believe that. AARP, the Association for Retired Persons, I'm still young. I don't need that. But don't you do you know I'm going to fill that card out? I'm going to send it back in. I heard you seniors get a lot of benefits. And I want all that's got coming to me. But do you realize that as we get older every day in our life, we are finding out that we really need God more and more and more? So when I come to God, I have to really believe that he is there. And since he's there, I want to talk to him. I want to talk to him. I want to talk to him. I believe that he is. Now, not only do I believe that he's there, John says that when we ask, if we ask according to his will, now that's a powerful thing for him to say. If I'm going to live a godly life, I need some help. I need some help. But Brother Clark shared with us, when you look at all the things that he pointed out to us, you can forget it if you think you can make it on your own. All the things that he shared with us as we walk in this life in an ungodly world, we are being confronted on every hand, not only by the world and by ourselves, but even by Satan himself to cause us to be distracted from the godly life that we should be. It's a war out there. And we need some help. And the help that Jesus has made it very clear to is that we need him. We need God. We need him in our everyday walk. So when we bow our heads, when we stand and look to heaven, when we seek his face, how do we do it? Well, hold your hand there. We're going to come back to that. I want you to turn with me to Philippians. Philippians. Boy, I tell you, Brother Clark, this is... It's amazing how the Lord has worked this out today. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians Philippians 4, Hebrews says, he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We who diligently seek God, sincerely, earnestly, constantly, depending on him. It's like our hands and arms, legs and bodies. We need the function of the heart for the blood to run warm through our veins. Without it, we would die. Prayer in the Christian life is as the heart blood to our life. We need him and we need the prayer life. But when we pray, listen carefully to what we ask of the Lord. Listen carefully at the words that we say. Sometimes we when they ask us to pray, we jump up, just start talking. You ever notice that? You ever notice that? Oh, brother, would you pray? Have you ever wondered, has he thought about what he's saying? You know, when you just jump, just right off, start rattling words off, and they sound good, and they sound nice, and they sound good to us, but I wonder if God's saying, what are you talking about? Did you really diligently think about what you were going to say to me before you just jumped up and started saying things? Or are you that close to God that you're constantly in a prayer mode all the time, and we just happen to interrupt you by asking you to say it out loud? And then, of course, there are those of us who pray. And these are the leading brothers and sisters in our assembly at these meetings, and we ask them to pray, and they pray. And if you could close your eyes and just listen, you could almost say for word what they are saying. They've said it over and over and over, the same thing over and over, and we just smile and say, thank you for that prayer. Some of it hits these walls back, ground up and down, and just rattle, and that's as far as they go when we pray, because we really don't believe in what we're saying. Not only do we not believe in it, but a lot of the things that we ask for are not according to what God wants us to have. Well, then, how do I handle this then? Well, I want to live godly, but I'm having problems with that. I'm having a difficult time with that. I can't. My lifestyle is not really godly. It's okay, but it's not godly. So I'm having a difficult time, whether it be malice or anger or whatever the things are. I'm having a hard time in trying to accomplish that life. I'm having a difficult time to let my light shine before men that they might see my wonderful works or my good works and glorify the Father. I'm having a hard time for that. So it's bothering me. It's upsetting me that I've still got some sinful natures, that are things that I do that I know are wrong. I'm having a hard time. So I'm asking God, help me with it. I'm overly burdened with it. Maybe it's my mom that is sick, or my brother that is down. Maybe it's a believer that I know that's walking contrary to the word of God. Whatever it is, I'm burdened with that thing, and I need to talk to God about it. So how do I go about that? One, I believe God is. Two, I know he's going to reward me. But look how he does it. Look what he requests from us. Look at Philippians 4, look at verse number 6. Hebrews 4, verse 6. Now listen to what it says. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing? Be careful for nothing. One writer says the word should be, for our better understanding, it's anxious for nothing. But you know what I like to do? Look at that word, careful. Two syllables, right? Careful. Now, if you took the care, pick up, put it here, and put the full in front of it, and put of in the middle, be full of care for nothing. See, you live, you're human, we're human, and we're going to be anxious. We're going to be concerned. We're going to be care of. But it simply means that don't be overly careful. Don't be so full of care that this thing is distracting you from living the life of Christ.
Don't be so concerned that it is destroying my life. Now, if it is, he says, now, here is how you handle it. But in everything, whatever it is, mom's sick, dad's not feeling well, kids doing bad in school, some bullies messing around with you, you're in debt up to your ears or to the top of your head, got laid off. Maybe she said, I don't like you no more, I like Paul.
Oh.
You know? Maybe the board is looking at the finances and not that. Maybe we're trying to decide what lessons plan should we set up for the assembly. Maybe whatever it is, if it's there and it's concerning you that it's going to affect your life in this world, we need to take it to God, talk to God about it. But look how he tells us to do that. Look at the same verse. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. By prayer and beseeching God and seeking God. Do you know we don't pray like we really should? When I was growing up, I grew up in a church where they had, we used to call it a moaner's bench. Now, y'all down here, y'all know what I'm talking about. All of us didn't come up in the assembly. There are some of us come up where we had folks who prayed a long time for some of us wild children, or as my grandma always said, chillins. Folks who prayed, who really believed that prayer worked, and they diligently prayed. They would have groups of prayer meetings and prayer bands and prayer partners, they call them, where they would take a one particular item or situation, and they would bombard heaven with that request. They would talk to the preacher and say, Brother Preacher, this is what's on our heart and what's on our mind. What scriptures have you got to talk to us about on this thing here? And he would share with them the word of God, and they said, well, we got what God wants us to know. Now we're going to talk to heaven about it.
I really think that that's why a lot of our churches are not functioning, our assemblies are not functioning properly like they should, because we done forgot how to pray.
Our prayers are more literal now. Our prayers are more oratorial now. Our prayers are more patterned now. They're not sincere. They're just words now. For if they were not words, the answers would have come to pass by now.
You don't ask God for something out of his will, so what we're asking for must be in his will. Then why haven't we gotten it? There's something wrong somewhere. James says we have not because we ask amiss. We're doing it. We're asking, but we're not. There's something wrong there. You think God made the mistake? I don't think so. Listen to what it says here in verse 6. Let your requests be made known unto God. You hear what he says here? Let God know what the problem is. Let him know. Do you know you don't have to have a long prayer to talk to God? Remember Peter? When he looked out, when he was in the ship and it was being tossed back and forth, and all of a sudden he looked out there and there was Jesus on the water, walking on that water, and Peter and them looked out and they saw him and said, that looked like the Lord. And he said, yeah. And Peter got to the edge of the ship and said, it is the Lord. Lord, if it is you, biddest thou me to come unto thee? Peter, and the Lord said, come, Peter. And Peter stepped off the ship in the midst of all that wind and rain and all that, and he started walking on the water, and when he got out there and saw the Lord, he I don't know what happened, but he saw something else. Took his face off of the Lord and saw the wind and the clouds and saw the water and saw all that stuff. And as soon as he done that, he began to sing. And do you know that this man made one of the shortest requests that was ever made? I could just hear now with some of our prayers. Oh, our Father, we thank you for the ship that you allowed us to ride in. And Father, we are grateful that you have sent your only begotten Son who's now walking on the water. And oh, Father, we are grateful that you have done the, and oh, Lord, we would love that you would do. I don't think so. You ever notice that
Our brothers, would you come and ask God's blessing over the offering? Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to pray, and we ask him that you would go to the hospital and remember Sister So-and-so. She's in the hospital right now. We want you also to remember our dear brother who has lost his job, and we want you to. And also, God, we thank you for. I didn't ask you to do all that. Just ask God's blessing over the offering. Why don't we just do what we ask? Because we have the perception that prayer is simply uttering words to God. I wonder what Peter would have done if the Lord had said, "Did you pray, Peter? That was just too short. You didn't pray long enough, son. You better go back and pray again." No, pray to Peter and say, "Lord, what saved me?" That's all he said. And the Lord didn't waste any time either. He answered him. He answered him. Let your request be made known unto God. What's bothering you? What are you full of care of? What are you seeking from God? You see, if you come into God, we diligently seek him. I'm coming to God because I have this thing that's bothering me. I'm seeking God. I'm asking God. Diligently requesting of God. I let him know what's on my mind, what's there. It's not so much how long the prayer is, but where is the prayer coming from? If it's coming from here and here, it's going to go up and come back. But if it's coming from here and according to God's will, God hears it. I'm to let him know my request. Now, look at this carefully. Now, listen to what it says. Let your request be made known unto God. Now these requests, now, what would you want from God? Well, I want to live a godly life. I want to live a godly life. Now, that's nice. That's good. But you see, we have already read the Word of God, as we've heard today. So even as we are in this meeting today, we should be asking God, "God, what is it that I'm doing that is not godly?" And since it's not godly, then Lord, I want you to show me, open my eyes that I might see what I need help in, what area I'm slack in, what area I'm weak in, what area I'm concerned in, that I might improve my life among this ungodly world. So now I'm beginning to, instead of having a broad statement, I'm beginning to say, "Lord, here's where my needs are. My desire, Lord, is to live godly, but Lord, you've already shown me where I'm not living godly. This is the area I need to deal with." So now I let the Lord know what's on my heart. Lord, I get angry very quick and I vent it very ungodly like. "Lord, I've got this thing about the lady sitting down the aisle from me. She makes me mad. Every time I see her, I just can't stand her. Lord, that brother that I saw last night, I saw him, and he never said he was sorry. And I just, he's never come to me, God, and I just can't. That's what's hindering me. Lord, I've got my wife here, and I know she's mad at me. I've never gone back to confessing. This is bothering, and I can't live. Lord, I've got children, and my son don't like me. Lord, my dad abused me. He hurt me. Lord, whatever that problem is, that's my concern. That's hindering me." So now I take this request, and I let God know. Now, take a look at that request again. If it's something that I think that is according to the will of God, as James says, then I can ask for it. You see, if I'm riding in a Honda, which I'm driving now, but I want a Lincoln. I don't want a 96 Lincoln. I want it blue. And I want it loaded. That I can ride around in.
and let folks see this elder is a good brother. He's been blessed. You know, and that's, Lord, that's my request. Then I'm actually asking amiss. For God is not getting any glory out of that because I'm going to get all the honor. I'm going to get all the glory. I want this, and I want, see, I want it for my sake, for me. Even when we talk about God, about our husband, Lord, I want you to straighten him out. I want you to get him, Lord. I want you to nail him. I want you to, see, he hurt me, God. And what I'm asking of God is not that God get glory, but that I get satisfaction. And my satisfaction may not be to the glory of God. I want my sons and my daughter, Lord, I want them to go to school. I want them to get an education. I want the folks to know that that's my child. I want them to understand that I raised that boy. I want them to understand that it was me that struggled and suffered and went through all. It was me. See, that's my request, but that is not giving glory to God. You see, if I'm going to ask God, so I need to ask, is this according to his will? And in the scriptures, God surely tells us on some specific things that we can ask for that we know that are according to his will. Well, what if I don't know his will? What if it's so vague? What if I'm not really sure if this is God's will? Then we come under two categories. One under wants. And the other under needs. See, many of our wants are things that really are not things that are God pleased. But God graciously let us have them because they're our desires and he can get glory out of them. But many of those wants are not even nowhere near pleasing God. But God has also let us know that there are some things that if we ask, God's going to provide for us, but we have to ask for them. Look at the same book, Philippians. Look over at verse number 19. Same book, verse 19. Paul says this. Listen to what it says here. My God shall supply all your what? Need. He is going to provide for my needs. He's going to take care of me. Well, now, how do I determine what my needs are? Well, why don't we do as sheep do? What does sheep do? Whatever the shepherd provides, that's what I'm going to eat. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. See, my wants, my desires, whatever I'm asking God for, I want them to fall under what he sees as my needs. So in a sense, I wouldn't ask God for something for me that's out of his will that he sees won't do me or him any good. So what I ask him for, Lord, according to your will. See, I believe that if I ask according to his will, I'm going to get it. I will get it according to his will. He supplies my needs. So whatever I'm asking for, it would be to the glory and to the honor of God, our Lord. As the sheep walks through the field and the shepherd said, no, that's not good for you. I don't argue with the shepherd. Well, where do you want me to go? Right over here. Okay, I'm coming. And go ahead. There are going to be times when the shepherd will give you something that you really didn't want. You didn't want. But he knew that you needed it. If you don't believe that, look at that lady that you've been married to for 20-some-odd years, 30 years, or 40 years. See, at the time you married him or her, that's what I wanted. But God knew that's what you needed. After 35 years, 45, 50 years, Lord, you're sure right. Boy, I would have been messed up if I had married whoever else was out there. But that's what I could have used, but this is what you saw me need. See, now the complementary is there. He's provided for us. Now things, jobs that we've gotten, we just thought, I don't want that job. But the Lord just brought it. Oh, I'm going to have a child. That ain't what I want, but that's what you needed.
Some of us got some bad children. We can't tell them nothing. Those children are what God saw you needed, because that child is keeping you on your knees. See, if that child was not there, you wouldn't be praying and asking God for help. So God sent that one that goes this way and that way and around that way, and he says to himself, now, what did you say? Lord, help us. He's got a way of providing for us according to his will. So I let my request be made known unto him, because I know that he will give me those things according to his will. Now, in the midst of me asking and requesting, sometimes there is a pause before the receiving of the gift that he intends for me to have. Now comes that careful attitude. Now, because I haven't gotten it yet, I get a little nervous. I get a little anxious. You know, I begin to get a little concerned. And sometimes we almost listen to Satan say, "Now, the Lord ain't blessed you yet. You better get up and do something about this. You mean to tell me you don't ask God all this time and he hasn't blessed you yet? Don't you know that? You better get out of here. You better do something. You better tell him something." See, Satan says, "Now, you ask, now I'm going to answer." Satan can come along and give us some of the things that we ask for, thinking, when if we're not close to God, we'll think that that's God's gift to us. Satan is deceptive. He fools us into thinking that that's what you needed. But when we don't get it, God gives us something instead. Paul says here, look, let's go back up a little bit. Look here in verse 10. Verse 10, chapter 4 says this: "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly now that at the last of your care for me has flourished again, of which you were most mindful of, but lack opportunity." Sometimes it just doesn't come. I don't get it. Paul was talking about here that he had some financial needs, some needs there, and the church of Philippi wasn't able to bless him, but they finally came through. But in the meantime, Paul struggled. And sometimes before God blessed us, we struggle sometimes. It becomes hard. Sometimes the work in the assembly, because God has not truly blessed us as we see, it's a struggle. It's hard. It's difficult. The fellowship is not there. The finances are not there. It seems like we have a hard time. But Paul says this: if we learn to let our requests be made known unto God, not only that, but the time will come when we will find ourselves hurting. That's when we need to learn to depend on God even more. Verse 10, verse 11 says, "Not the aspect of want, but I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content. I now know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." I go both ways. Well, What do we do then when we let our request be made known unto God? When you put it in God's hand, now we say it, it's in the Lord's hand now, we're not going to worry about that. You know, a little side thought, I see these brothers and sisters on television that are doing this healing ministry, and they'll come up, they'll bring these folks up, and this is not a mockery or a knock on them, but this is a doctrinal thought, that they will come forward. And the brother will grab him and slap him in his, will put his hands on him, I guess, and tell him that they heal. He will point out that somebody's here who has a side that's hurting or a heart condition or whatever. And he do all of this, and they come forward, and they say, "Yeah, and I was at the doctor last month, and he told me that I had a cyst in my side, and I'm here to tell you today." And he said, "Do you believe God?" "Yeah, I believe God." "Do you think God can heal?" "Yeah, I think God can heal." Do I know you?" "No, you don't know me." And they lay their hands on him, and they do all that, and they lay out, and they say they heal. 2 days or 3 days or 4 days later, they'll say, "You know, after I was healed, I went back to the doctor, and he told me he didn't see nothing." Well, I often wondered, if you say you were healed, why did you go back to the doctor? If you believe God did something, then why would you want to go back to the man and say, God healed me. What do you think? My God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. So when we lay our request before God, now I have this thing that, is it going to come to pass yet? Is it going to happen yet? And I asked the Lord for, is it now, Lord, I'm waiting. You know, I'm concerned about that. Well, he also gave us an answer to the request after we requested. Look at verse number seven. Now, once I let my request be made known unto God, that seems so simple, doesn't it? Just pray it, and the Lord, here, this is in your hand. I'm having a problem with smoking cigarettes, God, and I help me with this. Now, don't think God's going to come down there and take that cigarette out of your hand and lay it to the side and going to cause a stroke in your arm. You're going to just sit there. It'll never pick up another cigarette. You can forget that. You see, and some of us blame, well, you know, I'm the weak, the flesh is weak, but the body, you know, you get out of here with that. You mean to tell me, see, a lot of us got this attitude, well, the devil made me do it. That old Flip Wilson thing, the devil made me do it. You mean to tell me Satan picked you up and forced you into Michael's bar and tavern down the street and told you to sit there on that and set you on the bar and went in your pocket, pulled your hand out, put the money up there and said, give me a Budweiser, and he grabbed your other hand and told you to grab and pick your hand up and put it down in your mouth. He doesn't do that. Satan tempts. Satan gives you an alternative. And based on the temptation and the other alternative, you make the decision. Cigarettes are there. Satan says, man, you know you want one, don't you? Go ahead, take it. Go on. You know, everybody, get that boy out of all. And your hand eases all and you pick it up and you... Oh, my throat's bad. Oh, I gotta help you. And you like to think, Satan just told you that. The body has a craving for sin. And he knows that. He's had you for 20-some years. He knows your faults and your weaknesses. And so he presents that to you. Now, what you and I learn is that, Lord, this is my problem. This is my difficulty here. Help me with this. That's my request. Now, every time temptation comes, as James says, every time that temptation comes, I need to run to the Lord. Lord, give me strength. Lord, help me to do this. See, help me with this thing. See, she made me mad. I want to slap her. And Lord, put your hand down, son. Put it down. Lord. Okay, Lord, I'm obey you. You see. When you go to the store, Satan says, buy another one. Go ahead and get you. You know you. No, the Spirit says, no, don't buy it. Just walk away. And you know something? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. All we have to do is obey him. That's all. Just, okay, Lord, okay, I'm surrendering to you. I give in to you, and I turn it loose. See, some of our, even our young folks, we're hollering, I can't get good, I can't get an A, I can't get a B, oh God, help me get an A, help me get a B, I want to get a B. It don't work that way. What God does, you recognize I have a problem in studying, you ask God to help you to study. I don't just go up there and take a test and an A fall out of the sky and land on, I got an A. It doesn't work like that. He gives us a mind to become students. And where I am, he said, now turn the TV off, turn the radio off, come into the house, go up into your room, open a book, and ask me to enlighten your mind. That's how God works. It isn't the teacher. Yeah, some of them are dumb. But you know what I often tell my students? I got this old dumb teacher. And I say to myself, teacher got a master's degree, been working there 14, 15 years, making $35,000, $40,000, driving a nice car, got a beautiful home, but they dumb. something don't work here. Something don't work here. Here I got this 13-year-old, can't halfway listen to anything I tell him to do, but he's going to come back and surmise to me that that teacher is dumb. I'm going to take this board. And that's the same way we... When you let your request be made known unto God, when you let your request be made known unto God, you still are concerned about it. Don't let anybody fool you. Just because you say, "Now, Lord, I want, my mom is sick, so it's in your hand. Boom, that's it. I'm through with it. Go ahead on." It doesn't work that way. The baby is sick. He's still feeling a fever. He's not well. Husband's not working. Money is not there. We're still concerned about that. The concern is overly careful, overly anxious. God says, don't be there. When you ask me and you put it in my hand, you know what God does? He comes in a small, still manner. And listen to what Paul says. And the peace of God. When I lay it before God, my mind is still upset about it. My heart's still worried about it. I'm still concerned about it. He says, but when you ask and put it in his hand, he says, and the peace of God. When I thought about the peace of God, I thought about Jesus Christ when he was in the hind part of the ship that the disciples were in when they were going to the other side of the sea. And while they were on top, he went to sleep. And there came a mighty wind and rain and the waves, and they beat vehemently upon that ship and caused it to reel and to rock, and all kinds of things were going wrong, and the disciples were afraid that they were going to fall off or be destroyed, and one of them hollered that we are going to die. One said, let's go ask Jesus. And they went down to the ship and they asked Jesus and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What a strange thing they asked the Lord. Carest thou not that we perish? And the Lord didn't even argue with it. He just got up, walked to the top of the ship, stood out on the bow, and looked at the wind and the rain and the water, and all he said was, peace. Be still. The wind rolled up like covers and went on back into the mountain. The rain ceased and the clouds disappeared. And the water that was tearing and rocking the ship became ceased all of a sudden. Now, you're talking about peace. That's peace. And that's the kind of peace that we have when we put it in his hand. He comes in and he brings us a calmness there that I don't worry about that anymore. I'm still concerned, but I ain't worried about it. God's going to take care of it. So when I'm having a problem with my smoking, I just say, Lord, it's in your hand. Every time I get that urge, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And you know something? Now, I know we're smart brethren. I know that. But you know, sometimes we have to get ugly when we talk to God. When the problem comes, sometimes you don't know what to say. You just say, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, God. Short. That's all. Oh, Lord. And when the problem seems to really get heavy and you still don't know just what to say, sometimes you have to call them out a little louder. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Sometimes you have to do as he said. You have to go into a closet. They'd be looking at you and you're smiling and you know, you're laughing and talking with them and you're worried to death. Sometimes you have to just go on off to the side and you have to get someplace by yourself and shut the door. That is, by yourself, and you just have to call them. Oh, God. And sometimes, you know something, there are times when you and I will find ourselves talking to ourselves. Well, we're really talking to the Lord. And folks, what's wrong with you? Oh, no, I'm just talking to the Lord. I just had something on my mind. I just want to talk to him. You see, it isn't always you have to be so polite and methodical when it comes to talking to God. Sometimes you can be driving your car. Sometimes you can be washing the dishes, ironing clothes, or even folding up, or even dealing in the middle of a problem, and you don't know the answer. You can just sit there and say, oh, Lord, help me with this. Talk to me. Give me my answer. Give me the peace on this thing. and the God, and listen, and the peace of God. That's how I answer. And the peace of God, which passeth all. I wish I could explain it. I wish I could explain it. That when you ask of God according to the will of God, when you seek God's faith, there is a peace that comes on. That I don't worry about that anymore. I may not have it now. I may not get it today. And if it's God's will, I don't have it. There is a peace that comes and says within my heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's okay. It's all right. If you're going to live a Christian life in this world, I need to know that God is saying, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the world. And whatever problems we're dealing with trying to live godly, God provides. So he says here in that verse there, and it passes all understanding, and above all, listen when it says, it shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Ain't that what we want? We want him to keep us. Keep our hearts. We want him to keep our minds. We want him to bring that peace that we need when we request of him. Let's go back to Hebrews and we'll close. Hebrews 11. Verse 6. If we want to live a blameless life, in this perverse generation, this evil world that we live, we've heard the things that the Lord has shared with us today, how we are to do that. We've seen that our affections need to be set aside on the things of heaven and not on things of the earth. We've even seen how even our earthly members can cause grief with God when we disobey him by following those things. We've even seen how even the Lord had pointed out some things that we specifically should leave alone or lay aside. We've even seen how we are to put on the things of God. So Brother Clark shared with us that the putting on now is that I'm taking that which God is offering to me that I might live, that I might see, and might share what the world doesn't know, what God can do for us. And then I'm asking you, don't forget to ask God to help us. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. What are you doing that's causing you not to walk right in this ungodly world? What is it? Your friends that you associate with, those on your job, in school, at home, or even in the assembly here, wherever you might be, can they really see Christ in you? Or do they see parts of Christ? They see some of the things that Christ taught. Can they see it in you? Are they able to see that Jesus is real in your life? If they cannot, then you need to talk to the Lord about it. And when he shows you the areas that you're weak in or hindrance in your walk with him, ask him to help you. Ask him to help you. Whatever those desires may be that's causing you to fall in the sight of God, there's nothing wrong with falling. Just don't stay there. Just get up and call on him again and ask him. And then look to him to take care of whatever the need might be. As Paul said to the church, to Timothy, when he was sharing with him, let us lay aside every weight of sin which so easily besets us. And let's get up and run this race with patience. Lord,
let this not be just another meeting that we came to hear your word. I ask, oh God, that you allow your Holy Spirit to examine us, that he might look into our heart, into our life, and to show us the ungodly things we may do, think, or even act in this ungodly world. Point it out to us, oh God. And God, when you do point it out to us, help us to be, as you have shared with us before, obedient to the point that we can look to you for help. Whatever the sin, whatever the lifestyle, whatever the situation might be that will cause shame upon our dear Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm asking you now to convict us of it. And then we pray, God, that you would give us the strength that we can become obedient and follow through by obeying your word. When you show it to us, God, give us the strength that we can overcome it, that we might share with you the glory of the blessed Savior and be blameless in this cruel world, that men and women might see Christ in us, that we can say, or even they can say, as Paul said, it is not I, but it is Christ living in me. Now, whatever we have, God, we ask that you would take it and use it to your glory. If it's something that's not pleasing with you, give us that strength and we'll forsake it. Bless your word today. We pray, Father, for these that have come from all parts of this area, and that you would bless them with your word. Take it, make it alive in our hearts, that we might live godly for you. This I ask in my Son Jesus' name. Amen.